I am back here again with you, Alan Chartok. It's WAMC's live call-in talk show. James Murdoch, son of News Corp head Rupert Murdoch, testified before a panel in Britain today in an investigation of the company's dealings with top British officials. This is in new allegations of phone hacking in the U.S. have come to light in recent weeks. Some New York legislators are calling for an end to the use of condoms as evidence in prosecuting prostitution, saying this practice creates a dangerous environment for sex workers. What they've been doing is the police have been confiscating the condoms from the sex workers and taking them away. This is really brilliant if you think about it, because what it does is it puts both the Johns and the prostitutes at risk. Also, it's a primary day in New York, with Mitt Romney expected to pull ahead of his remaining rivals with wins in the Empire State and four other states holding contests today. Today, we want your take on these stories and anything else you may be following today. It's an open forum. To be part of today's conversation, and I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of people in it, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We got a Paul in Port Henry. Paul, you're on. Hello, Paul. Oh, okay, now I can hear you. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry. Hello? Hello, Paul. Well, maybe Paul's not there. So we'll go to Paul. Call back if you can. Is there a problem, Zach? That I don't know about. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to Bruce in Johnstown. Bruce, you're on.
Hi, Al. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
If I were voting today for president, I would like to vote for somebody beside Barack Obama in the Democratic Party.
Okay.
I wrote a letter to Matt Damon because he's had the courage to actually criticize publicly performance of Obama, and Obama made a joke about it, but I really think that things will not change.
Okay, so but if you are confronted,
I will vote for Obama.
Sure.
There's no choice.
So let's think strategically. Why does he act like he's acting as a sort of a centrist? Go ahead.
I don't know. I got a completely different message from the campaign.
Well, I'm assuming, by the way, that the reason, Bruce, that he's doing it is that he figures he's got the left. It's a hostile, you know, sort of tough time in America with everybody at everybody's throats, and that he wants to play the middle because that's the way you win elections. But the thing is, Bruce, you have to energize your base. Because because 50% or less than 50% of the people come out and vote in an election, right? So it is not only who goes and votes, but who doesn't vote, which is really, if you think about it for a minute, voting. If you sit on your behind and don't go out. So that when Barack Obama says something like that kid who was shot in Florida could be Trayvon Martin, could be my son. Or could look like my son, that energizes his base.
Yeah.
And it happens to be probably a good move on his part for saying the right thing, but also a politically astute thing, because every time somebody hears something like that who feels disenfranchised, they are lucky enough to get out and be able to vote. So I think that's what happens, Bruce. But I hear what you're saying. Believe me, I do. And I think you're a wise man.
I hope you make the change. Thanks,
Bruce. Okay. Every phone is busy, so everybody gets a chance. We'll move right ahead. Edgar in Red Hook. Edgar, you're on.
Yes, hello, Alan.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, wait a second. The waitress is coming. I didn't ask for mayonnaise on this.
Okay, thank you very much, Edgar. Edgar, in making a usual call, let's go to, he always uses a different name, by the way, Paul in Port Henry, New York. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
Somewhat apropos of the previous caller. Anyways, I just finished listening to Thomas Frank.
I heard him. Mm-hmm.
Just before, and he gave a litany of many failures of the Obama administration to respond to failing economy and all sorts of other things. And the one thing he didn't do was offer any solutions to it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff all too often. Exactly. Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you have to agree with a lot of what he said.
Sure.
You know, I'm a retired teacher, but every time I work with a young person or anything, I say, have you registered to vote? Have you registered to vote? And it's kind of depressing when they haven't.
Mm.
The other thing, being in New York, there is the reality that our vote here, we're not going to hear a lot of electioneering here in
no.
New York, at least for the presidential.
No.
And yet, I will reluctantly and enthusiastically all at the same time.
I love it.
You know.
Yeah, reluctantly. You're going to vote for Obama.
All right. The thought of the other candidate, and not so much the candidate, but the people behind him, is absolutely frightening.
Well, let me put it this way. I was thinking about NPR a lot and Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We know what the Republicans will do because they tried it in the House, right?
Yeah.
They want to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. My view of it is because they're not Fox, but, with one side. But, I mean, anybody could call here and everybody will be treated tastefully,
yeah.
except for that guy from the...
You know, okay.
So I think it is what's going to happen is if the presidency goes to Romney, so will the Senate. You know that the Democrats have a lot more seats to defend right now. So if the Senate goes Republican, the House is Republican, and the president is Republican, you can kiss goodbye to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
But that's small potatoes.
No,
compared
it is.
To what's going to happen
sure.
in the Supreme Court?
Sure.
Just the thought of another.
Thomas.
Right wing Thomas or whoever
Scalia,
it is,
yeah.
is frightening.
I hear you.
You can scream some more and we'll make up the difference if the government defunds Northeast Public Radio.
That's true, but not the other 80% of the public radio stations.
You're right. I do understand
that.
Totally
it different.
Is important,
yeah.
but
yeah.
There are so many things that are so basic here.
I agree.
And it is frightening that we don't have the political courage of people who, and the electorate who can hear truth spoken.
Well, Paul, first of all, I thank you for calling. Second of all, I think you're a wise man, and I have to tell you that every phone is ringing, so we're going to give everybody a chance. Thanks
okay.
very much, Paul. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. That opens up one free phone. Let's go to Rick in Hudson. Rick, how's my Hudson?
Good afternoon, Alan.
Yeah.
Maybe you know something about these rule changes that the FCC is proposing. I was in North Jersey a few weeks ago listening mm-hmm. to WNYC from New York,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was WOR Channel 9, their license comes due next year,
right.
and the FCC proposes to double the fee.
For a commercial broadcaster.
And... they said if that is the case, they will go off the air, and the only way you will get their signal is through the internet, the satellite, or the cable TV system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hopefully this will not affect public radio.
I don't think it will. But it still is a very interesting concept. Everybody has to pay more. That's what they're trying to do. But you make a very good point. Even without maybe even understanding it, because pretty soon most people will be listening to the radio through their computers. And they're going to be putting car radios. The FM radio we're listening to right now will be replaced or will have an addition to it, a computer radio, meaning that you'll be able to listen to digital radio wherever you are in the United States. You'll be able to listen to WAMC.org in California. And this is going to make a tremendous difference to what we do. We see in our listening numbers that a few less people are listening on the air and many more people are listening online. So the technology is going to change. I know that's not why you called, but
well,
I just thought I'd mention that.
It's your cell phone companies are just gobbling up all the frequencies that become available.
That's right.
Basically, that's what it's boiling down to, I believe.
Sure. Sure. And one of the things that happens is you could say to a lot of FM radio stations, ours included, that have Ticonderoga and this and that, that someday those stations will not be worth having because anybody can listen to the station, and we pay a lot of money to keep them going, by the way, we can listen to the station on WAMC.org. And so the implications of this are really quite fascinating. I don't know what to make of it. I keep thinking about it. I keep writing about it. I keep, you know, saying we can't put our heads in the sand about this, but that's where it's going.
Just to ask another question, sure. What is a translator and what is the most power that a translator can broadcast at?
Well, a state, I don't know. The answer is I don't know, but I'll give you what I do know. A station, a full power station, can be 5 or 10,000 watts. Right? A translator means a very small signal in a city like Troy. When the signal comes over from Mount Greylock to Troy, it bounces off the top of a mountain, so you can't hear it in Troy. Hence, we have a Troy signal at 93.1. That's a translator. It's only a couple of hundred watts, but it covers all of Troy. And a lot of Albany, too, by the way. So that's what a translator is as opposed to a full power station.
Okay, Alan. Well, thank you very much. Hey, very informative.
Rick, thanks for the call. Appreciate
okay.
it. Yeah. Let's go to let's take a short break. And I mean, if your name is Howard or Art or Jonathan or John or X, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY Eyewear.net. Curtis Lumber, serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more for 22 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Hildean, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30. Hildean.org. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. And St. Joseph School, Uptown Kingston. Offering an arts, literacy, and science-focused curriculum for pre-K, elementary, and middle school, daily tours of two historic campuses, Joyful Learning, Guided by Faith, StJosephSchoolKingston.com.
And a big thank you to all of our underwriters. We love them, and they do have so much to keep the station going. We appreciate it. So let me just say that four of the phones are ringing. We have one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. We've been really keeping our super volunteer, Bruce Herbach, busy this afternoon, and let's keep him even busier. All right, let's go to Howard in Del Mar. Howard, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you this afternoon?
Well, you know.
I know very well, yes. I have two things I would like to discuss with you, if possible. The first one, which is really bothering me very much, is that the United States government has just given the police departments and any other interested agencies the right to buy drones so they can fly them remotely throughout their jurisdiction. So
I had no idea about that. Is that true, Howard?
It is true, yes.
Where did you find it?
I read it in the Times and in the Telegraph.
Interesting. So you mean the police agencies of Washington, D.C. could have a drone flying over Washington?
Or Albany or whatever. As long as they have the money, they can buy those drones that fly around and spy on anybody.
Well, when you say spy, I mean, you know, on every corner now there's a television camera.
Yeah, but now they can do more sophisticated stuff than just the visual.
Like what?
Well, they can spy on who knows what. I have no idea what kind of technology that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the Iranians just have footage of them, you know, configured or figured out what kind of software they have in the drone that they downed.
Okay. Well, look, that's a very good thing for you to bring up. I'm glad you did. What else you got on your mind?
The other thing is that I am liberal, 100% liberal, but I would like for once for the Republicans to win and destroy this country, as then we will know how bad they are.
Well, we didn't know during the Bush administration.
Well, no.
And
no.
We didn't know during Cheney.
No.
And Obama inherited a great deal of what's on his plate right now.
Exactly.
Because of his guy. So
see,
it didn't work that time.
It seems that our kind don't seem to understand.
Well, your problem is that you got enough money to get by on. What if you're a destitute person?
That's the whole thing, you know. We have money, but we don't have money. The money is worth nothing now.
Well, I don't know.
You
might want to compare yourself with somebody who really understands what that word means.
I don't have that kind of imagination yet.
Howard, going to let you go. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Art in Monticello. Art, you're on.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to jump right in behind your first caller and talk about the election.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of talk about left and right, right and center.
Sure.
Myself, I would prefer that the president be a centrist because there's too much extremism. You know, the right has part of the answer, the left has part of the answer. But if you take it all and combine it in the middle, you know, you might have a bigger part of a solution there.
That's an interesting thing. But while I have you on the phone, let me ask you something. What on the left do you see as the contemporary American values do you see as too far left? So, for example, I'm going to ask you,
too far left?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're a little crazy on the gun control issue and stuff like that, you know, which is the... I consider it to be the Achilles heel of the Democratic Party.
Well, I don't see Obama leading the charge on that one.
Well, no, I'm just saying in general, okay?
Okay.
You know, we talk about left, right, middle.
Okay. What else you got?
Basically, on the candidates, I didn't vote for Obama last time. I wrote in Hillary, actually. And I was cautiously optimistic about Obama when he got in. And it looked like he was on the right track until he lost his steam on the health care issue, which is a huge issue. A huge issue to me.
So you don't like what he's done? You don't like what he's done on health care?
What was that? I'm sorry.
You don't like what he's done on health care?
Well, I don't like what he hasn't done. I mean, I think he mishandled it. People who complain about Obama, you know, they don't take into consideration that he had a lot of obstruction from the right. You know, I mean, they wouldn't let him do what he needed to do.
I think if he
could have done what he set out to do, I think he would have done a lot better on that.
Okay, so Art, in the last election, you did not vote for Obama. In this election, you are going to...
I'm going to vote for him, probably, because he'll be the only one to beat Romney, and as far as I'm concerned, anybody but Romney.
Why is that?
You know?
Why
so
is
it's
that?
Going to be, well, I mean, Romney is still conservative, and he wants to, from what I hear, he wants to mess with Social Security and Medicare and stuff like that, and I'm retired,
sure.
And, you know, I'm struggling as it is, and I don't need somebody like him to get in there and monkey it all up.
Well, Art, that's
I don't share a lot of the other Republican values either. You know, you know the how they feel about you know, stem cell research. My daughter's a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. What they feel, you know, I'm pro-choice. I think they ought to leave the gay people alone. They aren't hurting anybody, and. You know, it's another one of those where I'm voting against a candidate rather than for a candidate. I can't be like gung-ho for Obama, but I figure, well, you know, he's lesser of the two evils. And that's how it is in almost every election. You know, and it's a shame, really, that you have to vote that way. It's too bad that you can't get someone to rise up and everybody say, yeah, this is the guy, you know?
Hey, Art. Thank you for the phone call. I think you make a great deal of sense, and I appreciate
you
checking
in.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Yeah, have a good one now.
Right. Let's go to Jonathan in New Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Why do you think the level of voting is so low in the United States?
Always has been.
Why do you think it is?
Because
compared, for example, to most of European countries.
Well, first of all, I think it has to do with education. I do. The education system fails and you talk to a young person and they say, what does it matter? Who cares? But I think there's a great tradition. I don't mean that affirmatively. I think there's a big tradition of not voting in the United States. And I think that getting people to vote, because you have to see it this way, Jonathan. If somebody doesn't go to the polls, they're voting.
I know.
So, and we know that Democrats tend to vote less than Republicans.
Right.
And the reason for that is Chartok's theorem, principal theorem of democracy number one. The more money you have, the more likely you are to protect the franchise, meaning, you know, to protect what you have, and you exercise the franchise as a result of that.
I have a different theory.
Okay.
It doesn't matter as much.
What do you mean?
The parties in Europe tend to be more antagonistic, and therefore voting one in or keeping one out means more. Now think about this. In 1932, Hitler was elected in Germany. They had a poll, I think 89% of eligible people, which were basically all adults, voted in that election. It mattered. In 1945, there was a tremendous election in the United Kingdom. Again, well over 85% voted. And the tradition in Europe is high levels of voting because it matters. Whereas I'm not sure historically it matters as much in our system, our federal system, our system of checks and balances, and therefore it doesn't matter as much.
Well, it's an interesting theory, and I will ponder it. I just don't agree with it yet. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Yeah, bye. Okay, so now, interestingly, we had all five phones lit. Now we're down to the last two lonely phones. If you want to get in, now's a great time to do it. 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from you. I mean it. Let's go to John in Pine Bush. Okay, John, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Chartok.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to mention, a few weeks back, I watched a segment on television. I think it was on 60 Minutes.
Yep.
They were showing a typical day of a freshman senator and what his what he does in order to raise money.
Right.
And apparently, senators and Congress, a senator has to raise about $15,000 a day.
Sheesh.
Every day. In order to stay in his office, in order to have enough money to work on his reelection.
Right.
So the minute he gets into the office, so they looked at the amount of time that's spent of him raising money versus actually doing the job that he was elected to do, which was about an hour and a half a day of actual work towards what he was elected to do.
Right.
With congressmen, it's even higher. It's somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 a day, every day.
And that's because they run every 2 years and not every 6 years, like the senators do.
Exactly, exactly. But the point being, blew my mind the most was the idea that I thought that lobbyists would actively seek out a particular elected official in order to get them to, endorse their philosophy or whatever they're trying to put. And it's exactly the opposite. The staffers in these offices work full time, actively looking for lobbyists to give them money. So it's just the opposite of what most people in this country think about how our system works.
Well, it's not such an opposite. I think it's less dramatic than you think. Sure, they go and they look for targets. And they spend a lot of time on the phone. And I've interviewed, as you know, many, many congressmen. And they all say it's the most onerous part of their job, but they got to do it or they're going to lose. Now, along come a bunch of rich people in New York City, John, and they announce that we're talking about David Rockefeller and other people. And they say, this is ridiculous. We got to have campaign financing like they do in New York City. The reason they have it in New York City is that they absolutely were allowed to vote for it in a referendum. New York State doesn't have referendums in its constitution. And I guarantee you there will be no referendums in New York. Because why would the legislature give up that power? The minute I saw that, I said, Dean Skelos in the state Senate is never going to allow this to happen because their advantage is they have more access to money as Republicans. The day after I said it, he comes out and says, the taxpayers would never put up with this. Well, you want to know something? As John R. Arbuckle said years ago in a television commercial, I think it was John R. or maybe it was Mr. Goodwrench, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And that goes right back to the story you're telling us.
Absolutely.
Hey, John, we're going to let you go because a lot of people are behind you, okay? Thanks, John. Yeah, let's go to Jamie in Lake George. Jamie in Lake George, go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Chartok, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say one thing before I get into what I wanted to mention. I appreciate the amount of time that you let these callers talk on the phone. Many other type of talk shows that you call into, they cut you off real early and interject in between. You never really have a chance to get your point across, and you actually listen and really make an effort. So I want to just tell you I appreciate that.
Great. I've also been criticized for doing the opposite. I have to tell you that. But go ahead, because I have a rule, Jamie, for whatever it's worth. When it comes around for the second time, that's enough. In other words, you hear it once, good. You hear it a second time, all right, you made the point already. But, Jamie, go ahead. Please say whatever you need to.
So what I just want to mention is, you know, whether you're pro-Obama or you're pro-Republicans, Democrats, whatever it is that is your flavor, my theory is that regardless of whatever our situation is today that we find ourselves in, it's created because of politicians. Regardless if they're Republicans or Democrats, where we are today is a culmination of what's happened over 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15, 20 years.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, I believe that all the problems that we're facing and all the issues that we have that are going to be coming to us here in the near future in our country are results of bad decisions that politicians have made for their own political interests, in corporations' political interests that they represent. And it's unfortunate, but that's exactly how we've gotten into the problems that we're existing.
Okay, I got it. But how do you change it?
How do you change it? I mean, here's the reality of all of it. I mean, you're going to have an election this coming November, and there's a group of people that are going to vote for one, group of people are going to vote for the other. But the truth is, it's not going to make a difference who gets elected, because the political system is going to continue doing what it does.
Well, wait, Jamie. I'm sorry for interrupting, but if we get a presidential candidate who puts another four or three right-wing guys on the Supreme Court, you don't think that makes a difference when a court says something that corporations are individuals? There's a big difference between Democrats and Republicans, don't you think?
Well, no, there isn't, and I'll tell you why.
Okay,
realize that the current president we have in the political office, ever since the day that he took the job, and I think no one can dispute this, ever since the day he took the job to today, I don't know how many days that is. That's probably 1,100, 1,200 days, right? Would you agree with that?
Okay, but go ahead.
1,213 days that he's been in office?
Yeah.
We have no budget. We've never run a budget. We don't have any budget. You can't run a country without a budget. There is none.
Okay, but if you have a party in Congress that says we're not going to cooperate with you on anything, including the construction of a budget, by the way, there's a budget, what do you think is going to happen?
You're exactly correct, and you're making my point completely. It doesn't matter. The Republicans aren't going to go with the Democrats. The Democrats aren't going to go with the Republicans. We're not going to have a budget. Nothing's going to get done this year because it's an election year, and I guarantee you nothing's going to get done over the next 4 years after that.
Okay, Jamie, you've made your point, and we appreciate your calling, and I thank you for your compliment. Let's go to Jane in Albany. Jane, you're on.
Yes. Alan, this is just, I mean, you might dismiss this out of hand, but what if we elected Romney and then by, I don't know, making like the biggest noise that we can, make him do what he did for Massachusetts health, I'm talking about health insurance now, make him do that for the whole country and just not let up until he does it. I mean, you know, we can scare them a lot. You know,
now, Jane, I would never dismiss anything you said. But I do want to say this to you.
Yes.
Romney was the governor of the bluest of blue states in the United States.
Right.
He knew that in order to survive, he needed to meet the expectations of that group. Now he runs in a Republican primary in the South and other places where he has to be a conservative. We had Occupy Wall Street, which lasted for a little while and didn't make a big noise. Everybody thought so. If it were in some places in Europe, in Greece, they'd shut down the country for a day. That has never been the spirit of this country. And I doubt that we're ever going to see it. Vietnam was the last time I remember it. So I understand the theory. But there is one guy who called before and said, hey, let's elect Romney and let him screw up and then that'll change things. Yeah, well, there are a lot of poor people, people who want to go to schools, people who want their student loans, who in fact, have a great deal to lose if you take that kind of a theory. Now, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm not allowed to. But it's clear to me what you know, the fallacy of that kind of thinking.
Oh, right. I mean, I'm planning on voting for Obama. I don't know how to make it worth it. I don't know how to make it worth people's while to do the right thing. I think that mostly the Republicans, but now the Democrats too, have been not governing in good faith.
Okay, then you have to get on their case, Jane.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you mean I have to call each congressperson? Because I will.
Absolutely what you have to do. You have to do the one thing. I mean, I've worked for enough politicians in my life to know they get five letters on something, their hair begins to stand up.
They're killing me on this. I think it does bother them. I think it does scare them.
And we are a very lazy nation when it comes to this. Stand out in front of your house and ask the first 50 people who walk by, do a little poll, who are your two state legislators? You're going to be astounded. And if you don't know who they are, you certainly can't tell them what to do.
I think I should add to that. Well, here they are.
That's
now
a good
give
idea.
Give them a call.
Yeah, yeah, right. Give them a call and they'll look at you like you're insane.
Well, I can't look like that.
You know what? You're right. You're right. That is the thing to do. And I appreciate your call. And I want to commend you for that kind of thinking. Thanks, Jane. Okay, let's go to Nora we're going to take a break. You stay there, Nora and everybody else, and we'll be right back, just seconds away.
Support for WAMC comes from Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, offering installation of air conditioning systems to the Pioneer Valley, now expanding into the Westfield area, richardsfuel.com. The Olana Partnership, presenting The Cultured Canvas, a symposium and book signing on May 5th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. in collaboration with the Thomas Cole National Historic Site and Bard College, olana.org. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Neil Simon's Rumors, weekends now through May 6th in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. The Unitarian Universalist Congregations of the Capital Region, where people gather together to nurture their spirits and help heal our world, capitalregionuu.org for information. And Hawthorne Valley Spring Fair, Harlemville, New York, Saturday, May 5th, activities, games, puppet shows, food, and more, hawthornevalleyschool.org for information and directions.
Nice job, Zach Malloy, and sitting behind the controls, that was his voice. And now let's go back to the phones, and let's see how many phones. There's one free phone right now. Let's go to Ron in Pownall, Vermont. Listen to where all these calls are coming from. It's terrific. Ron, you're on.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. First of all, I'm voting for Obama. You brought up the one reason, is that there's a possibility that President Obama will be able to take and nominate three justices.
Well, no, let me correct that, if that was the impression I gave you, and I know I said that. Basically, the people who are most at risk for losing their seats on the Supreme Court because of age or illness are Democrats or people that the Democrats have nominated. Are you following me? Or liberal Republicans. If the Republicans elect a president, they will replace, undoubtedly, the three moderate Supreme Court justices with conservative Republicans. But if Obama stays in office, I hate to disappoint you, he is not going to get much of a crack because the Republicans are smart, and they elect and they nominate young people to the Supreme Court who may be there for the next 80 years. I kid a little bit, but people like John Roberts, who is very young.
That's it.
You see what I'm saying? So it isn't quite as clear that Obama will be able to make a change in the Supreme Court, because you never know what's going to happen. Somebody may die. Somebody may keel over. Somebody may have a heart attack. But basically, it looks to me as if the people who will retire first are the people who are voting in the for side of all these 5-4 decisions.
Yeah, but most importantly is that we keep it the 5-4, if not. Well, you hate to see it go the other way.
Hey, Ron, I would personally agree with that. Go ahead. What's your other point?
And the other point is that a second term with President Obama, I think you'll see the gloves come off, and he will definitely ride a lot tougher game than what he has. He's had to tiptoe and try to get this. This country was a mess. You and I both know it. I don't care.
No, it's true.
And
sure.
He has bailed us out. He has kept us from becoming an Iceland where all the banks failed. I mean, if the banks had failed, the big shots would have been the ones that were hurting. Now it's time for them to pay back and help the little guy. And they're all greedy.
You remember when he was talking to the president of Russia the other day, and he got overheard saying, stay with me, I'll be able to do more I've been thinking about that a lot. When I'm elected to the second term, I thought that there was a message not only to the Russians, but to us and to the American people. Okay, second term, I go for it. On the other hand, Ron, second term, you're a lame duck. And people immediately start dismissing you because you can't run again. You pays your money and you takes your chance. I agree with you. I think you're likely to see a little bit more activity on his part.
I truly hope so, and I truly hope he remains our president.
Okay, Ron, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Ed in Salt Point. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. A couple quick comments to Ron's. I think you expressed it properly. A little bit more activity. The gloves aren't going to come off. It's not in this guy's DNA, which is not a reason for not voting for him, of course. And back to Jane for a moment. That was amazing. Jane said, elect Romney and then put the pressure on him to pass something like he did in Massachusetts. Hello, Jane. Obama did that. And the Republicans are now attacking it. It's a danger of being tossed out by the Supreme Court. But that's not really why I call. I just called because I want to get your impression. If you've been watching it, Elliot Spitzer seems to be gaining traction on current TV in his 8 o'clock slot. Have you looked at that at all?
Well, the reason I haven't looked at it is...
You're asleep. That's
right. No, well, first of all, I am. But my cable system doesn't carry current TV.
Oh, gee, you should look at it because it is really interesting.
Now, the guy's a very good friend of mine. I love him. He made a mistake. There is no two ways. He made a mistake. I just am so unhappy that we as the American people can't project ourselves into having made a mistake, even a serious mistake. And do we let a wonderful man like Spitzer, who has so much to contribute, up because he did something that was by his own thinking stupid? I just hate to think that that mind gets lost.
Alan, is look at this program. When you get a chance, you'll see it's not getting lost. Yeah. The guy is getting his sea legs, and it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Well, Ed, I'm glad you're pointing that out. I'm quite sure that on our cable system in Western Massachusetts, they don't get current TV.
A friend might have it and could pay between
Sure,
or
sure. Hey, Ed, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, goodbye now.
Let's go to Deborah in Stone Ridge. Deborah in Stone Ridge, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey.
I want to thank you for mentioning that if we're citizens, we must know our representatives and we must stay in contact with them. I think without that, all the talk about what's going on isn't going to make any difference.
Sure.
That's a major point that I feel, and I know that people aren't doing that. The other thing that has concerned me, I've been politically active for, I don't know, at least 50 years, and at this particular point, my feeling, not a scholar, is that lobbying money has bought the government, that the way
no
we elect
question.
Officials...
No question, yeah, no question.
And that is what is intensely discouraging. And the last thing, I feel that we have scarfed the educational system to the point where both parents and children don't really see the values of knowledge, of questioning, of asking questions and looking for answers as opposed to memorizing things.
Okay, because we are running out of time, Deborah, tell me how to turn it around.
I don't know how to turn it around, but I do think at least we've got to contact, at least we have to put out a big educational campaign to have people know and call and write to their representatives in Congress, in the state Congress, and in
okay, so you live in Congress. You live in Stone Ridge. It's a you know, an affluent community by and large, right?
Stone. Ain't affluent.
Yeah. What'd you say? It's not affluent?
I'm not affluent.
Oh, but it is, as a general.
Yes, it, by and large, it is.
And we know with affluence goes often education, college education, that kind of thing. Stand.
But a lot of kids here don't, and the dairy people who are my dear friends are working two extra jobs
sure.
in addition to running
okay.
a dairy
Deborah.
Trying to get a kid through college.
Deborah, go out into the street and take a little survey and just say, I'm doing a survey for a paper I'm writing. Can you name your two state legislators?
I'm sure they can't.
You're going to find out that even where people are educated and everything else, they don't. Once people don't hold them accountable because they don't know who they are.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm
then
saying.
Then what happens is they take the lobbying money and nobody is ever going to say boo to them because they know that they're not going to be held accountable because they're taking the money from the lobbyists.
I totally agree.
Hey, Deborah, thanks for a great call. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks for the program.
Great. Let's go to Joel in Newburgh. Joel in Newburgh, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Shardog?
You can call me Alan. Go ahead. Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, so you asked the lady just a moment ago what would be the solution to the problem.
Yeah.
The solution would be they all need to be fired.
All right. So
you fire every one of them
and you put new people in. What's the difference?
The difference is the people in the future realize that when they don't represent the people, when the elected doesn't represent the people, they lose their job.
What do you think the chance, Joel, what do you think the chances of this happening are? In other words, I've heard it before, it's enough already, the rest of this kind of stuff. But in fact, it doesn't happen. And by the way, let me just finish this one thought and I'll let you go on. Then it's irresponsible to think this way because you have to educate yourself and know that there are some legislators, one house or the other, that protect certain rights. So there are differences between politicians, and you've got to do your homework and recognize what those differences are. Now, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying, that they all have their interests, but the fact is that, you know, that other guy that called is kind of on target when he was saying that the position we find ourselves in is because of politicians, okay? So if the politicians truly weren't taking the lobbyist money, and they were representing you properly, representing me properly.
No, I know. I heard you. You are going around for the second time now. I think we all understand your point, but it's just too easy to say they all stink. You have to.
I didn't say they all stink. What I'm saying is that they all need to be fired at once.
Okay.
See, the very next day, you know, they found themselves on an unemployment line, and they didn't have a job.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That the next guy would realize that if I don't do my job...
Yeah, no, you said that already. Joel,
you
said that already. I appreciate your call very much. We want to get everybody in. Let's go to John in Rosendale. Okay, John, how are things at the Rosendale Cafe?
I don't go there.
I go there. I like it. Go ahead.
All right. Alan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
All right. The interviews are hot and interesting.
Great.
You have some solutions in the law of the land from the Constitution of the State of New York. You have some solutions under General Principles of Constitutional Law, written originally by Thomas Cooley, second edition, 1891. And there's some ways in order, if people were to pay attention, to reverse the wrongs that are going on.
Okay, what do you got specifically? Because we're running out of time. Go ahead, John.
All right, 1800s through 1966, political donation is illegal any way, shape, or form unless you're a corporation raising funds for a politician, and that's all you can do. Now, specifically,
this is a proposal. This is a proposal you're making, yes?
No, this is the law then.
Then,
they changed the law because Rockefeller was going to run for president and made all these illegal monies become capable of their taking, which corporations never had the right to give. Now, hang on a minute. You're back up to the Constitution for enforcement each time. I learned, I guess I'll identify myself. You came to the college, you were a law professor. I was the head of the March on Washington in 71. When I talked to Bill Casey back in 71 and 73, it's the constitutional law that kept everybody from harm in that march, and I took full responsibility. Now, when I look back at the Constitution today, and I see that the law of the land for New York is the law of the land for the rest of the United States and the Supreme Court, the small little things like a statute evading the terms and frustrating the generally and clearly expressed or necessarily implied purposes of the Constitution is as clearly void as if strictly forbidden.
John, I wish I had more time for you, but we're running out of time. We only got 4 minutes left in the whole show.
Do a show with me, Alan.
What'd you say?
I'm in the phone book.
Okay.
Do a show with me. I'm in the phone book. And I tell you this very simply.
Yeah.
Okay? If you realize that corporations can't vote, the charter of the franchise for the people, for this country, the word charter of franchise...
Oh, no, I hear you, John, but I have to go. But I can tell you this much. Look at Citizens United, and I think you'll have an answer to that. Let's go to Eli in New Hartford. Eli, you're on. Or is it
Hi, Alan.
Yeah, Eli.
Well, I wanted to talk about the gerrymandering in New York State.
Sure.
We saw 2 years ago, the last election,
sure.
Ed Koch... was the media
yep.
darling. He was in all the networks. He was
yep.
in my newspaper. I saw him arm-in-arm with Dean Skelos and the entire Republican Senate.
And you know why, right? Because Skelos thought that they were going to be in the minority. And
well, I know why he did it. I know why he did it. My
screwed.
Question
yeah.
is, how did he get away with backstabbing Mr. Koch in making Mr. Koch...
Well, Koch told me himself what he was going to do, and he did it. He said, liar, liar, pants on fire. Nobody cared.
Well, so that's the answer. The media that's my question. Why did the media turn away from Mr.
Well, Koch? I think everybody
is totally hidden now. Whereas 2 years ago he was a media darling and he was the guy who was going to help bring reform.
I think everybody knew what happened. I think the governor is the one who pulled it off. To be perfectly mm-hmm. honest with you, because he wanted to work with Skelos. He's too afraid of the people in the state senate who are far more progressive than he is, and sometimes far more corrupt. Than he is, and he didn't. And he didn't want him. It was that simple. You know, he can say, "Well, I had to do it because I had to make a deal." You know, it was sort of nonsense. As for Koch, you know, every story I read on redistricting reminds everybody what Koch did. Everybody. And I read a lot of stuff every day in every article. So, Eli, I think it comes down to the fact if we don't care, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening. I really love you for calling. Thanks a lot, Eli. Let's go to Franklin in Corinth. Franklin, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, Alan. I'd just like to respond to a couple callers have said that let's fire all the politicians and all our
sure.
problems are due to the politicians. I'd like to say my opinion is it's not the politicians. It's us. And it comes down to whether we take control or not. If we give it to them, yeah, they're going to be controlled by big money. But just going to OWS and in context with this, and I know my time is short here, but I'll be succinct. And that's the people are talking about OWS in the past tense. It's not dead. It'll be around for a long time.
I'm sorry, Franklin. Franklin, you're going to have to tell me OWS is what?
Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy. I'm so sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And there, my point about whether we're in charge or we have something to say here, it's clear. With OWS's message about the elite running the show, all of a sudden the 99% interest is part of the political conversation right up to the presidency. So I'd like to just close by saying, listen, you can be disempowered and say it's everybody else's fault, or you can be empowered and get off your butt and do something about it. And I would just give an example of that. And if we look, Scott Walker from Wisconsin, he's most likely going to go down, is because the people stood up and they didn't just complain.
Do you have any idea, Franklin, how many messages I get on my internet every day from Scott Walker asking for money, asking for support, telling me how he's going to win, telling me that the recall isn't going to work? Somebody's putting a lot of money into that.
But they're putting a lot of money in, but the fact of the matter is, even the fact that he's going into an election, whether he wins or loses, is because the people got off the couches, they got off their asses, and that's what we have to do instead of saying it's everybody else's fault but our own.
I can't say you're wrong. You got anything else to say for a half a minute? First time in history that's ever happened. I say, okay, yeah. You got another half a minute.
Okay, I would just like to follow this thread. It's like life. As long as we blame anybody outside of ourselves for the problems that we experience, we're disempowered. If we take control and we say, listen, I'm part of this somehow, that's when we can empower ourselves and make the life we want. And that goes right up to politics.
Hey, Franklin, God bless you. Thank you so much for calling, and you are right. We're about out of time. And I want to thank everyone who called in. I also want to apologize to no one for being left on the line, because you weren't. Support for the Vox Pop comes from NBT Bank, offering personal banking, financial planning, commercial and business banking, nbtbank.com, member FDIC. And Albany's The Down Tube Bicycle Works, custom fitting and selling bicycles for new, recreational, and experienced riders, and servicing all brands. The Down Tube on Madison Avenue opposite Washington Park, and Hudson Valley Footwear, Rhinebeck, New York, footwear for the family, including Vibram Five Fingers, Sanita Clogs, and Naut Sandals. HudsonValleyShoes.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach, who did a hell of a job today. Our producer is Patrick Donjus. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.